Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
When everyone is on the same page, getting things done is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that enables your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Welcome to the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast. Time for the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast.
Welcome to this week, MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast. I am the playmaker, Michael Irvin. And this week, in the MIP report, a 17th game added to the NFL season. Who and how it affects everybody involved. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers do something rarely done to solidify their best chance at repeating as the NFL Super Bowl champions. And this week on the MIP, I speak with a man that I contend, and you'll hear about it, still owes me $100 million. He and I will discuss this. That's Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban. All of that right now on the MIP. And let's start with the MIP report. Let's get right into this, folks, because you see where the NFL has jumped off and rectified, ratified, solidified everything they needed to do that 17-game season. And everybody at first glance, at least most people do, most fans at least, great, we get an extra game. A game that counts, because what they did, and I get this, when they solidified, when they all rectified the 17th game of the season, they dropped a preseason game. That's probably what they'll end up doing, dropping a preseason game, right? They'll drop a preseason game. And for all fans at the fan base level, let me tell you this, how this works. When you go get season tickets, they make you buy a 10-game home package. That's right, 10-game home package. I know you say, well, how do you get 10 games out of that? Because they only play eight home games, eight away games. That was a 16-game season, right? That was a 16-game season. But the reality is they make you buy a 10-game home package. How do they get to a 16-game season? First, in 1961 to 77, they played 14 games a season. They played 14 games in 14 weeks. Then from 78 to 89, they changed it to 16 games in 16 seasons. When they added two regular season games, they dropped two preseason games. Think that. But that went on to about 89, as I told you. In 1990, they introduced another bye week. That means we had a 16-game season and 17 weeks. And today, now, they're talking, we're having 17 games in 18 weeks. Let me tell you how this affects people. I was just talking about the season ticket holders, the fans. The fans are saying, great, we get an extra game that counts. Because before I had to buy those 10 season tickets for home games, they didn't just let me buy the eight regular season game tickets. They made you buy those two preseason game tickets. They made you buy those two preseason game tickets. So now you get possibly, and I don't know how the NFL would determine this, 1 year, you'll get nine regular season games and one preseason on that packet. And the next year, maybe you'll get eight and then two postseason games, because that's how they're going to rotate for the teams. 1 week, 1 year, they'll have an extra game, home game. Then maybe the next year they'll have that, I guess that's an extra, what you call a preseason game, however that works out. So for the fans, that's a good deal. That's a good deal. For the owners, that's a great deal, because the owners are going to get more money. I don't even know what they said that number is, per game as you add in per game. And when you add in the 17th game, not even talking about that extra playoff game they got last year, which I'm not complaining about that. I love that playoff game. That Super Playoff weekend was the best weekend, I think, of sports. Being able to catch that first game, second game of three, that was great. So I ain't got no complaints about that. That was great. But the 17th game, for the fans, yeah, I just see where you're saying it's great. For the owners, absolutely. That's great. Anything that's going to make you come and pay more money, because remember, that extra regular season game, You're going to be there longer. You're going to tailgate. You're going to buy more things. All of that stuff is a lot more money coming out of that extra regular season game. So the owners are real happy. But let's break down how the players must think about this. And I want to help you see it. We always are told in this business, take me inside the locker room. Well, let's go. Let's go. You see, at first, as a former player, I thought, my God, they're doing this. They're going to, it's already hard to stay on top of and stay in the record book with the change that have already come about. You know, when we've gone from now there's a defenseless receiver. You can't hit the guy until after he catches the pass. You know, so I'm thinking about, what about all my records? You know, you know, because we've gone to a pass-throwing league. We're throwing the ball more, and now you can't even hit the guy on the back end. When I played, you threw the ball 25, 30 times a game. Now we're throwing it 50 to 55, 60 times a game. And when I played, you can get knocked in the mouth, separate you from the ball. Now they got to wait till after you catch the ball. And then they go and add a 17th game. So, yes, for me, I'm sitting back saying, wait a minute, stop giving everybody chances to destroy all of my records, surpass all of my yards. As a side note, I want to get in this. You know, I was interested. You know, I told you Calvin Johnson got in as a first ballot. And I think my numbers are about the same. I got in as a third ballot. And I had three Super Bowl titles. That's another story. I don't want to break in and digress talking about it. But I'm just saying, this thing is so skewed that it's not about that. You know, but I just thought just about numbers. He played in a more pass happy time. You know, playing more pass happy time. Now he voluntarily walked away from the game. I guess he was losing so much in Detroit, which I understand losing gets to you, but. I don't even know why I broke off into that. That's been on my mind because I should have gotten in that first ballot. I'm going to let that go right there. Michael, don't bring that in here. That's just my emotions and feelings getting caught up in all this. I'm sorry, y'all. I digress. I'm going to stop that right now. Okay, that's gone. Let's get back to how this is affecting the numbers by playing that extra game, because it does also affect the numbers from the players' perspective. We talk about it from the players' perspective. Former players, it's going to affect it because the season. You get an extra game per season. You know, last year, Derrick Henry had over 2,000 yards. You start thinking, well, maybe more people get 2,000 yards. The next man after Derrick Henry was Dalvin Cook at 1,457. You give him an extra game, he ain't getting 2,000 yards. That was rushing and receiving. Diggs had 1,535. You give him extra game, he ain't having 2,000 yards. So that 2,000-yard mark will still probably be intact, though aided a little bit by that 17th game. It will still be intact. So as former players, I'm looking at the numbers. As current players, this is how it affects the current players. Folks, players 1 to 25, they're with their owners. Okay, that's great. We're going to make more money. Players 1 to 25, we're going to make more money, and we don't have to play in less preseason games. The truth of the matter is, players 1 to 25 are going to choose when they play in the preseason anyway. They're only going to play in one game real hard. All other games are really just practice. So it doesn't affect them one bit. And then they can only be limited. We're only limited so many padded practices. So adding a 17th game after taking away all those padded practices that we used to have in the former days, that's why I say, okay, this won't affect the injury as much as people think adding that 17 game will affect injuries because we don't practice as much. But players from 25 to 53, oh my God, this is hell for them. Players 25 to 53 are those guys that may get a good 5-6 years in the league, but it won't be a long career. Very rarely will it be a long sustaining career with one team. Players 25 to 53 need reps, and they need game-like reps. So when you start taking away preseason games, you're taking away opportunities for those guys to make a football team. Because I want to play if I'm 25 to 53 in that preseason game you took away. Because if you don't sign me, I need somebody out there to see me play and sign me. That's opportunity loss all the way around. And you say, well, 25, 53, they'll make it up on the back end. They'll get a chance to make more money. No, that won't be the case. Because the bump that we're going to get in salary cap numbers from those extra games, I guarantee you that money going to ride high. It won't sail low. It doesn't sail down low. It just rides up high. What I mean by that is these 25 to 53 guys, they won't see a great number jump in their salaries. But I guarantee you we will see a great number jump in the salaries of quarterbacks. So all of you who talking about Doug got 42, I can't believe it. That contract will be outdated in 2 years. I mean, he did a great job. I'm not saying he didn't do a great job. I did a spectacular job. His agent did a spectacular job getting him the money that was available every dime right now. I'm just telling you, they also did a spectacular job in trying to project where growth is going, because growth is going there. That 25 to 53 won't see this 17-game season money coming in their pockets. It's going back. It's going in the quarterback's pockets. That 25 to 53 group, they're losing games. They're losing opportunities. Opportunity to develop. Opportunity to make a career. So I'm just saying, I feel for those guys. I feel for those guys. I'm probably the only one that feels for those guys, but I feel for it. That's why I'm bringing it up, because guys, be ready. You got fewer opportunity to do what you need to do. Everybody else is happy. More football, more money, more yay, yay, yay. Except 25 to 53. Less chance, less money. It's never a solution for all things. 25 to 53, we're praying for you. Let's move on to those Tampa Bay Buccaneers, man, doing something rarely done to solidify their opportunity at returning as Super Bowl champions. Tampa Bay Buccaneers signed all 22 starters from their Super Bowl champion run. All those Super Bowl starters, they signed them, got them back, got them on the roster to give themselves the best chance to repeat as Super Bowl champion. You know, the last team, let me give a couple last teams. Last team to return all week one starters of a Super Bowl season was 1979 Steelers. They repeated as Super Bowl champions. The last team to return all the Super Bowl starters were the 1977 Raiders. They reached the AFC title game. This is what Tampa was looking at when they said, we're going to do all we can do to try to go 4-2 and signed all of their guys. I bring this up and I put it in the MIP report for two reasons. I want to give a kudos to Tampa for doing that. But I also want to bring up, interesting enough, one of the guys that they have not signed yet was Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown right now, I think made like $2 million last year in the 8 games he played. I think right now he was looking for and probably looking at some of the money that the other guys have gotten out there. You know, 7 1 year, $7 million deal, 1 year, $8 million deal, up to what Nelson Aguilar, those guys have gotten, where they got about $14 million a year. I think Antonio Brown thought he would fall somewhere in that category, anywhere from that 18 to 14. 18 to 13, and he's holding out for it, and he hasn't accepted whatever deal Tampa has on paper for him right now. This made me think about this, and it's just something I want to toss out to you guys, because Antonio Brown is still fighting back, and I know a little something about fighting back, trying to come back. Antonio Brown just had a remarkable comeback on the football field, end up winning a Super Bowl. Right here, does he need to reciprocate? Should he say, thank you for coming to pick me up when I was down? Let's get this number the closest we can get it. Give me the best you can do, and I'm good. Or should he keep holding out, hoping that something better is coming along? And does holding out, hoping that something better come along, send the bad signal to the rest of the league that he's trying to, that he's trying to show that he's committed, that he's ready, that he's back, that you can trust him? You see, situations, I believe, big in reciprocation. I think it's the root of all relationships. Reciprocation. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much you think you love somebody or who you are. You just keep doing and doing and doing and doing, and nobody ever cares about what you doing, how you doing, and how much it costs you to do it, and they won't reciprocate or do anything for you. I don't care how good of a person you are. You're going to get sick and tired of that relationship. Reciprocation is the lifeblood of everything. So will it be smart for Antonio Brown here to try to reciprocate? I say yes. I said, why stay on the market, man? You know they want you back. You already see right now that this is not the market for wide receivers. This is not the market for, when I say not the market for wide receivers, not the market for wide receivers to get the numbers that they thought they would get this year. The only market that's rarely affected, that's never really affected, is the quarterback market. The wide receiver market was suppressed a little this year. Galladay's, the top guys, they didn't get what they wanted. They didn't get exactly what they wanted. Galladay thought he'd be up in the 20 million somewhere. And then a year from now, 2 years from now, maybe he would be if he had come free at that time. Antonio Brown, it is time now to make a decision. And I understand that you're making this decision off of a number. But what we have to find out is what number is in your head and what number is important to you. It's about the number. This team picked you up, man, gave you a home, man, put you back on a football field when I don't know that anybody else was. Tom Brady was right there with you when I don't think anybody else was. I understand you have to take care of your family. But I'm just saying, get what you can get. But think about reciprocation in this situation. When I say it's about numbers, it's about these three categories in those numbers. It comes down to this. Does Antonio Brown wants to be WR1? Or does Antonio Brown want to win ring two, or is he trying to recoup 30? Do you want to be WR1? Do you want to win ring two, or you're trying to recoup the $30 million you lost from the Oakland deal, the Oakland and the Patriots and all of that? In this situation, with that market suppressed, recouping that 30 is going to be hard, buddy, if not impossible. Certainly not possible right now. Going somewhere to be WR1 is close to impossible right now, because at your age, nobody's building 4 or 5 years down the road with you. That's how you become wide receiver number one and get the big number. 6 years for $20 million a year, $25 million a year. Nobody's going to do that. So I think for you, you can get this number two, win ring two, and as for like a better way, kill two birds with one stone by showing reciprocation and a shot at another ring. I appreciate what you guys did for me. I'm going to get out here. I'll even take less money than I had on the table if somebody else did, because you're not going to get what you want this year in the market anyway. Go one more year, get as much as you can from Tampa, then jump back in the fray next year. The NFL's already announced they're going back to full stadium. They expect stadiums to be full. All of that means bigger salary cap number, which means bigger opportunity. But right now, in order to get those bigger opportunities, I think a little reciprocation on your part will be needed. Let's have a chat with Mark Cuban. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com. Joining the MIP this week, and this man needs no introduction. I can tell you all the accomplishments, but you already know about them. He is the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, Mark Cuban. Mark, let me just start with this, buddy. First of all, I just think that's apropos that you own the Dallas Maverick, and everybody talks about you as a Maverick owner. Have you ever thought about how coincidental that is and how perfect that is?
I hear it all day, every day, Mike, all the time for the last 21 years. Oh, you're a Maverick, so you bought the Mavericks. That's why, just all a coincidence. I was a Mavs fan back in the day, and, you know, the opportunity came along, and here I am.
But, Mark, you're different, Mark. I'm going to tell you something. I knew you were different way back then.
Remember?
When you walked in that room, and Mark, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you how you helped me, Mark. Ever since that moment, I've always said I would never leave other men negotiating my business without me being involved. I would never leave other men negotiating about my money, about my business without me being involved.
You were like the first celebrity we ever talked to, right?
Oh, my God, man.
That's when we were starting AudioNet. That was the entire – that was like –
share the story with everybody, Mark, because every time – I haven't seen you in a while, and I love you, Mark. But it's hard for me when I see.
I know. It's got to be painful.
Share the story with everybody.
Oh, my God. Streaming did not exist. This was like 1995, and nobody knew what it was. And we started this company called AudioNet, and we just had this little shitty little room office with a couple IKEA benches set up and some computers set up. And I remember Michael coming in and me trying to explain to him what we were doing, how you're going to be able to use this thing called the internet, because the internet was new to everybody.
It was new,
and
right.
You had to do all this stuff to connect to it. It wasn't easy to connect to the internet back then, right? You have to have a dial-up modem or broadband. Right. You had to download this, download that, and then you could listen to things. And I was trying to explain to him that someday, pretty soon, and it's been a lot longer than even I expected, you'll be able to listen or watch whatever you want anywhere in the world. And it'd be super easy, and it's going to like change TV. And he's like, okay, I have no idea what you said, but okay. And we're like, why don't you get involved and help us, right? Because, you know, it'd be really something special, and we'll see what we can do. And, you know, I don't want to say, but, you know, we're talking about 2-3% of the company, whatever. We'll see. We sold it for, that'd be worth $100 million.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Every time I see you, I think about $100 million. There's your $100 million, Michael. There it goes, right there, walking around. It's like, oh, my God. That was, but you helped me after that. Jerry Jones, I sat with him, and after that, everything. I promise you, I said, never again will I allow other men to negotiate for me without
me. I'll never forget that day, because I remember sitting there, and you sitting next to me, and me trying to explain all of it, and it was new to me, too, right? It was new to everybody. It was brand new, and trying to explain the vision, and just like, in the back of my mind, like, because when you're doing something new like this that you hope is disruptive, but you don't really know, you're kind of faking it till you make it, because this is all changing in real time. And so I'm like, all right, did I explain that okay? Like, did I make any sense at all?
You made plenty of sense, and then you made plenty of dollars.
Dollars, right?
That made more sense than anything, all those dollars and cents you made, man. But I was happy for you, Mark. I'm telling you, man, I knew you were a different dude then, because you just carry yourself differently. You know, you run into a lot of smart people. It's one thing to be smart. It's another thing to know how to maneuver around people. And you have that ability, Mark. You know what I mean? You're great at it. And you sold a company, made a boatload of money. I didn't get any of that money, unfortunately. You made a boatload of money, man. And you brought the Mavericks, Mark. Tell me, in that quest to go buy the Mavericks, what were the toughest hurdle you had to overcome to purchase the Mavericks?
Just getting them to sell it to me. So I was a season ticket holder, and the Mavs were awful, right? And so I'd go to the games, and there'd be, you know, nobody there. And I remember it was the start of the 99-2000 season. I can't believe how long it's been. And, you know, we're undefeated. It's the first game of the season. Everybody's supposed to be hyped, right? And there was no energy. And we had just sold that company you could have owned, you know, who knows how much about. And so I had an extra $100 million that I didn't have to give to you. And so I know. Sorry. And so I'm at a game with my wife, then girlfriend. And I'm like, I can do a better job than this. And so my ticket sales guy said, you know what? Let me connect you with Mark Aguirre. And he connected me with Mark Aguirre, who connected me with Ross Perot Jr. And literally it happened in 3 to 4 weeks. You know, he made me a high price offer, and he probably thought I was going to negotiate. But it was all funny money at that point, because, you know, I had Yahoo stock and this and that. And every day the stock went up $25, you know, and it basically paid for the team. So I'm like, let's just get this done. And, you know, within months, the deal was closed and I owned the Dallas Mavericks. And, you know, I've been a basketball junkie my entire life, you know, back in the days in Premier Club, now Lifetime, you know, during, you know, normal times, you still see me balling a lot slower, shooting from a lot further back than I used to. But, you know, I still get out there and play. And so basketball has always been in my blood. And so, you know, when the opportunity came along, it was an automatic yes.
Yeah. And that's what I love about it, man. Your passion, Mark, that you put that passion in your ownership. I see a lot of owners. I meet a lot of owners. Everybody doesn't have that passion. You know what I mean? It's a business, but it's also a passion for you.
Well, you got to make that decision. Which comes first? Is the business first or winning first? Because they don't go hand in hand. You know, you're not always going to make money in the NBA if you're playing to win. You've got to be prepared to lose money. And, you know, I'm happy, you know, I want another one of those Larry O'Brien trophies, you know, and, you know, one's not enough, and it's been too long. And so, you know, hopefully we'll, you know, we rode the Dirk train. Now we'll ride the Luka and KP train and get there.
And let's get there. Cause in 2011, when you guys went down to Miami and beat that super team, insane. Yep. I was there. It was great. That was so good. Cause that was
crazy.
You know, they had put together a super team, man. Oh my God. That's the first time I travel city to city, like, you know, and everybody, you know, I'm in the game, right? So who do you want to win? I said, yeah, well, and the team, this the city I won a championship in. Well, I didn't want a championship in both cities, so I was just trying to use that.
Right.
I'm trying to go down the middle, because it was a great series, man. It was a great series. But I look back now,
And I say, you know what? That was hard work and teamwork, connectivity beating talent. Yep. I always say this, Mark, that talent, great connectivity and teamwork will always beat great talent. And I thought that's what you guys did.
It's not an individual sport. You got to have five guys out there. You got to have 11 guys or 22 guys all working together to get there. And you know how important chemistry is. The minute chemistry starts to fall apart, your team falls apart. And we had it. We had that chemistry. We had a great group of guys.
A great group of guys. Mark, do you ever think about this? Like, if I ask you right now, your greatest accomplishment in the NBA, so, what would you say your greatest accomplishment right now, so far?
Yeah, the trophy. Yeah, the trophy for sure.
But okay, and of course the trophy. But now let me tell you what I think. I look around, I say, man, do you understand? Like, to some degree, how the NBA is being played today, right, that you had something to do with that. When you brought Dirk, remember, we went basically from the Shaq kind of era to the Dirk era. Shaq was the big man just beating you down low. Dirk was really the first big man with the fadeaway threes and everything. And then you brought that European style into this NBA, and it has exploded. Now, all the big guys run the floor like, you know, and shoot threes now. I think you should deserve some credit for that.
That's Dirk. Dirk was here when I got here. He'd only been here a year. So I won't take credit for that. But, you know, you're right, though, because everybody was like, why don't you put Dirk down in the paint, you know, in the post and let him post everybody up? And he's like, no, he's like an amazing shooter. You know, no one's going to guard him out in the perimeter. No one's going to guard him at the elbow. And he just changed the game. I mean, just the way he transformed things is incredible. And now, you know, everybody can shoot threes. I mean, it's crazy because, you know, it used to be if a guy shot 40% from three, he was unbelievable, unstoppable. Now there's like 20 guys, 25 guys in the league shooting 40%+ and some getting close to 40 to 50, and, you know, a bunch of 45. And now kids, you see what's happening in the college game. They're learning. They got to shoot three. You know, everybody's learning how to shoot, and that's changing the game.
Yeah, the game went from being played inside out to now outside in. And it's so amazing that it goes from inside out to outside in. And then you go from Dirk, you know, to Luka. Oh, my God, man. Come on, man. Let's talk about Luka, man. That's a phenomenal dude, man. And he's young, and he's so talented, and so poised. It's like nothing gets to him, Mark.
Nothing.
Hey, tell me about Luka.
You know, he plays with an edge, right? He plays with a little anger, but you don't see it. You know, you got to have that edge when you play.
You got to have something that gets you going.
But he's such a good kid, right? And off the court, he's just a great guy to be around. He's fun. He's smart. He's interesting. And then on the court, you know, he puts the work in. You know, it's not like he just walks in on the court and he's the most athletic. But, you know, he puts in so much time into his game, and it just shows. And, you know, I tell this story all the time. After his rookie year, I said, Luka, what are you adding? And he goes, well, Mark, I didn't finish real well around the basket with my left. Because, you know, rookies, right, they get sped up and, you know, they're trying to catch up to the game. And he'd be going full speed and try to finish a layup and bounce it off the top of the backboard and to go back 20 yards. And so he goes, okay, I'm adding my left. And next year, he was top 10 in finishing around the basket. Then I said, this year, you know, going into this year, okay, what do you add in this year? He goes, mid-range. Now he's shooting like 50%+ in his mid-range. And I kept on, you know, I knew what I was going to ask him for this coming year about adding a three and really getting good at shooting threes. Mid-season now, you know, since he's really gotten in the groove, he's shooting like 43% over the last 20-some games. And, I mean, it's just like, what can he not do? And he just, you know, and the other thing is not everybody, there's a lot of great players, but they don't all make everybody else on the team better.
Right.
There's only
a few
guys that make everybody else on the court better. And Luka's definitely one of those guys. LeBron, Steph Curry, Luka, they make guys on the team better. And that's a unique capability.
Which goes back to the connectivity, because if you're making everybody else better, everybody loves playing with you, and they play
exactly
hard.
Exactly right.
So they know you're going to get those opportunities, and he has that. He has that in him. Mark, he's going to be very soon the best player in the NBA. He's trending that way. Bar none, the best player in the NBA. Mark, do you worry about down the road holding on to the best player.
No, not really. I mean, because he loves Dallas, right? Look, people are going to make their move. Everybody's going to talk about it because that's just the way that the industry is, right? That's all sports are like that. Is he going to move, right? And so, you know, that's all fodder for people to talk about, and that's all well and good. But, you know, we kept Dirk for 21 years, and I think Luka sees the same thing for himself.
And you got him some help with KP over there. And Mark, I saw when you got hot, I heard an interview. It was like, we're trying to build something and you guys are starting these rumors. We're not trading KP.
Yeah, I know. You know how it goes.
How did that go down? Why did that happen? How does stuff like that happen?
I mean, you got to fill up the pages, right? You got to have something to tweet about. And if you don't have something real to tweet about, make it up. And then a lot of it comes from other teams, right? So it's like, oh, I heard this, you know, the Mavs called us about this. And it's all BS. It's just total BS. But they know that the way the business works, that if it gets into, you know, a tweet somewhere from a reporter, then they got to ask us about it all the time. And that's annoying. And what's more fun than annoying another team that you have to compete with? But wait till I start talking that crap.
did you worry about KP hearing that stuff?
No, I talked to him. I talked to him. Okay, right? I talked to him good. And I said, look, it's just not true. I would tell you, you know, it's just not true. And so KP and I have a great relationship and, you know, he knows I don't bullshit him. And so I told him, you know, it's just not happening, you know, and I give him the same speech. You know, if they offer us LeBron or Steph, all right, at least have to consider it, but I probably still wouldn't do it. But at least I tell you I'm considering it.
And I got to say, man, it's what I love about you and Jerry also, you know, and both of you guys in Dallas. I mean, you guys, you will communicate. Jerry and I had a lot of communications. Michael, this is the situation. This is what it is, you know, and you can appreciate that when you're talking to as a player and an owner of the team. You can appreciate that communication with the owners. What is it like for you in being in Dallas, owner of the Mavericks? Also having Jerry Jones in Dallas as owners of the Cowboys, both of you guys have big personalities.
Yeah.
And
knowing
way beyond your game.
Yeah, I love Jerry, man.
What kind of relationship do you have with him?
Yeah, we talk a couple times a year at least, if not more. And I talk to Charlotte too. And, you know, we get along great. He's given me a lot of great advice. When I first bought the Mavs, he called me up, Mark, anytime someone ever tells me I overpaid for something, it's always turned out to be a good deal. That's like when he said that stuff about Dak, right?
Right.
About overpaying.
And everybody tried to turn it to something negative.
I knew exactly what he was saying. Meaning,
right.
You know
right.
what? It's a win-win, right? I paid him a lot. Some people think I overpaid him, but I know I got a deal and I know he got paid exactly what he's worth. And so, you know, and he called me and told me that and he was right. And since then, we've talked about a lot of things on the business side, on the sports side, on dealing with things, and he's been great to me.
Yeah, Jerry's a good man. Mark, you guys right now, you're about at the set. You're in the seventh spot right now in the West. You know, now last year, I remember last year you guys were playing. You guys were doing that bubble playing. You played the Clippers, and Luka made a play, won the game against the Clippers.
Yep.
I tweeted, Mark. I tweeted. Oh my God. He has arrived now. He has arrived. They killed me on Twitter. Look, what do you mean he just arrived? He's been here. He's been playing great. No, listen. I said.
Mike, you can't listen to that stuff dog. On Twitter. Don't
right,
look
right.
at your mentions.
Right,
don't
I'm
look at your
explain
mentions.
Explain to them, in this business, you got to beat the big dogs to beat the big dogs. That's
no
just
question.
What here. You got to beat. And he just beat a big dog. Now when he consistently do, you know what I mean? It was like, this is it. This is where everybody wants to go. We want to go to championship, not just somebody playing great. And there's a process to getting there. How when
course.
You look at this team now, how far do you think they're off from being there, a championship team?
Oh, we can
team?
Get there. Look, I mean, everybody said the same thing about our last championship team too, right?
Sure, right.
Certain things have to go your way. Things change. But, you know, when we played the Clippers last year, it was like 1-1 when we had KP. Then he got suspended. Then he got hurt. Right. And so now KP's rounding in the form. He's been incredible. He's been playing at
right.
you know, a superstar level lately. Luka has been Luka. And so we really haven't had – we're still getting that continuity going. But when we get our guys playing, I mean, we beat the Blazers by 40. We beat the Clippers by 15, 16, right? We've really played well against good teams. We played our worst basketball against bad teams, you know, and unfortunately, but I think we have the ability to beat anybody, you know, in a given series. And so, you know, yeah, there's a lot of good teams, particularly in the West, but there's no team that we're afraid of, for sure.
You're saying right now you feel you have the ability to beat anybody in the West as constructed right now.
Yeah. I mean, we've beaten the Clippers. We won 2 out of 3 there. We beat the Spurs 2 out of 3. The Jazz and the Suns, we didn't. But that was when we were in our COVID downtime, right, where we were missing 5 of our rotation players. So we haven't played either of those teams full strength. And so, you know, we'll get another chance to see how we match up, particularly against the Jazz when we play them in the next couple of weeks. But, yeah, I mean, you got to play the games, obviously, but there's no team that scares us.
What do you think when you hear people say, well, they got to add one more superstar or one more big-time player? What are your thoughts when you hear that?
I mean, everybody says that. I mean, you know, you look at Brooklyn, they keep on adding people, LaMarcus and Blake Griffin.
Right.
You know, on paper, that always looks really good. But yeah, still right.
Now, I was about to ask that. Now, at some point, you're like, wait a minute now. Talk to that now. Hey, that's more difficult to work than people know when you're putting that many so-called alpha males in one room with one basketball.
Yeah, look, it's interesting. Like we talked about right off at the beginning, you know, beating Miami with, you know, the Heatles, right, and having 3 superstars, right, and great complementary players. And it'll be the same way. You talked about connectivity. You're right. You know, it's just because they're a super team doesn't mean they're a super team. You know, and having a lot of guys with a great resume doesn't necessarily make them a team. Now, I'm not saying they're not going to be great. They absolutely can be if they get it together, but it's not necessarily easy.
Mark, you talked, and I'll get ready. I'll let you get out of here. But I want to ask you a couple of things, Mark, about how you've seen this COVID situation. You know, we go from last year in the bubble. You guys kind of led the way. Right now, everybody's kind of wondering, when are fans coming back? What right now are you guys talking about as far as having fans coming back to the game?
Well, we're up to about 4,000 now. And as the number of people who are vaccinated increase and the number of cases continues to decrease, we'll keep on adding people, because I think like 70% of the people who are 65 and older and most at risk have already been vaccinated. And so the risk factors are going down. We've got, you know, the only thing really missing right now is finishing getting all the people who work at the AEC who are in contact with people, you know, with customers, vaccinated. And if we can get through that, then when the city is ready to allow us to open, we'll be right there.
What about the players? The players in the vaccination? I know you guys are not forcing
players. Most of our guys got vaccinated the other day. And so, you know, there's just a few more to go. And look, not everybody is going to say yes right off the bat, and we're fine with that. You know, but vaccine hesitancy is changing very quickly. You know, the science is in our favor. And you know, I was talking to one of our guys and he was like, well, originally I wasn't for it, but my grandma got it and she's fine. So if grandma can get it and be fine, I can get it and be fine.
Yeah, we can all get it and be fine. Mark, right before I let you go, man, people have talked about, and I heard people say, Mark Cuban for president. For president.
No, not going to happen.
If Mark Cuban, oh yes, this can't happen though, Mark. If Mark Cuban was the president, what would he have done differently over this last year as we had to deal with and endure the COVID situation?
I mean, just more transparency, authenticity, honesty about the science. I think people don't realize that science is a moving target. Every day you learn something and things adjust. And so a lot of people would say, well, they said this last February and it's not true. That's not the way science works. And so you've got to really communicate and let people know what's going on and really, you know, I would have just organized things a little bit more so that people trusted him more, because our biggest problem before was we didn't know who to trust with our lives. You know,
right,
literally our lives were at stake. Our families' lives were at stake. You know, we're terrified about our kids and our parents and our grandparents. And there wasn't a trust factor. Now, fast forward to the guy there now. And we went from, we're not, you know, we thought the USA would be the best at dealing with COVID, and maybe we were one of the worst. And now you look at our distribution of the vaccine, and we are back again to being one of the best in dealing with issues like this. And it's because, you know, science is science for a reason. And when you do the work, and communicate and are honest, I think good things happen. And so, you know, I, in terms of the COVID situation, I like what Joe Biden's doing, you know, getting us up to 2.5-3 million vaccinations a day. That's awesome. And so hopefully by the end of the summer, we'll be relatively normal.
Mark, you have been just a great, great asset for the Dallas area. I really do mean appreciate that, Mark. And I appreciate you, buddy. And if ever you just feel like your pocket's heavy and you just want to shoot me that $100 million anyway, I will receive it. Don't worry.
I'll send it in Bitcoin next week.
Okay. Hey, thanks for taking the time, man. I know I had you longer than I expected.
No, that's okay. Thanks, Mike. I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. And thanks, Sean.
Good man.
All right, guys.
Thanks for downloading the MIP. Check out new episodes of the Michael Irvin Podcast every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com. Today. That's GEICO.com.